It is going to become increasingly harder for Donald Trump to spin all of the terrible news coming his way. For example, just a month ago, he fired the commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics and claimed that it was all rigged against him because of the revisions. Well, just today, we learned that the Bureau of Labor Statistics dropped the worst revision update on record. Not just since 2021 or 2022, no, on record. Even beyond 2008 and 2009, this revision is terrible. On top of that, we have a government funding deadline that is very quickly approaching. It's in about 2.5-3 weeks. The question then becomes, will Democrats use this moment as leverage in the way that they didn't 7 or 8 months ago at the beginning of Trump's term? I think the answer should be yes. Before we dig into some of the other bad news Trump's getting, I want to play for you this clip. In this clip, the case is made by Jamel Bowie that Donald Trump should shut the government down because voters need to be able to connect the dots in their minds between their votes and the consequences of their votes. He argues that it would actually be dangerous if people look back on Trump's term and think of it as this amazing golden age when Republicans can't get their shit together. They are hurting the American people, and Democrats aren't really good enough at messaging sometimes to fix that. I mean, on the Adam Mockler channel, we try to elevate voices in the party that are good. I think we do a good job of messaging on this channel. That's because of you all. That's because we have a brilliant audience. So let's just start here. Let's start with this clip. In this clip, you see the New York Times opinion podcast, and they really nail it here. Just take a listen.
I'm very leery of a fight that will hurt regular folks.
So, Jamel, I mean, David's point is, you know, spot on in terms of this is the reason shutdowns are so unpopular, because they do hurt people. How much are you worried about blowback?
So if the path towards a shutdown were a Democratic filibuster, I think there might be like real concerns about blowback. But if a path towards a shutdown is just Democrats saying, we're going to let you guys have the majority. You have the majority in Congress. You have the White House. We'll let you figure out a budget deal. We're just not going to participate. I don't think there's blowback there. I really don't. Because in that situation, right, it's Republicans who wouldn't be able to figure out how to get things done, right? It's not. Democrats are under no obligation to fix Republicans' problems for them. And this is going to sound callous, but there's an extent to which I think that maybe voters ought to feel some pain if the Republican Party cannot get it together enough to pass a continuing resolution. I think one of the dynamics over the past decade of America, past 15 years of American politics, has been a profoundly irresponsible Republican Party, a Republican Party that has almost completely abdicated any serious attempt to govern the country, and then being bailed out by a Democratic Party that feels, rightfully, I suppose, an obligation to govern the country. And the effect of that in terms of the message it sends to the public is that there are no costs involved in electing anti-government maniacs. There are no costs that you can elect them in an affective way, right? Sort of, I want to express my anger and disdain at the system, knowing that the other side is going to feel some responsibility to make sure things don't get too out of hand. But what if you just let them get too out of hand? What if you say, you know what? This is what you voted for. This is what you wanted. And this is what you're going to get. And don't try to bail out the Republican Party from its dysfunction and its inability to govern. Will that hurt regular people? Yes, it will. Does sometimes, you know, in the same way that sometimes your kid has to fall off their bike to learn how to ride it better, does the public need to touch the stove, to borrow a phrase that went around earlier this year, in order to figure out not to put these people back in the office? I think so.
I absolutely agree with what Jamel is saying here, and it's a calculation, right? But at the end of the day, Democrats need to stop bailing Republicans out. If Republicans can't get their shit together enough to fund the government despite having a majority, the Democrats should step away and let them faceplant, because voters in America need to be able to connect the dots between the way they show up at the voting booth and the outcome or the consequence of the way they vote. They need to be shown that you can't just roll the die on an orange maniac who has already shown that he is not trustworthy or reliable and expect an outcome that is beneficial. And listen, a government shutdown really does hurt. Like, I don't want to undermine that. It hurts tens of millions of Americans, and it's painful, but it's quickly becoming a calculation of the short-term pain, the government shutdown that we use as leverage to stop the admin, or the long-term pain of the erosion of rights, the erosion of election integrity, radical redistricting in red states to rig the election in Republicans' favor. The calculation becomes pretty clear that we need to prioritize stopping this current administration. I mean, beyond the example of the upcoming government shutdown, that can be used as leverage, and it should be. Just think about the past month or two in terms of the economy. Trump's Liberation Day tariffs kicked in exactly a month ago on August 7th, so a little over a month ago. He announced them in April, so many months ago, but they only just took effect. Then we lost a bunch of jobs, and Trump fired the BLS commissioner, saying that these revisions are insane. These revisions are her fault, and the weak numbers are her fault. Well, the commissioner had nothing to do with it, because we are now learning job growth for the year ending in March was far weaker than previously reported. And some of this does fall under Biden's administration too. Biden was the president over the past 12 months, right? So it goes from April to March. But when Trump got into office, he did not try to stimulate the economy and bring back job growth or to lower unemployment. He immediately placed insane tariffs on our closest allies, Canada and Mexico. That was week number one of his presidency. And then by month number two, we had tariffs basically announced on the entire world. They just recently got placed on the entire world. What have we seen for this? Manufacturing growth? No. Manufacturing jobs are rapidly bleeding out of the United States because now no companies actually want to invest. The revisions arrive as government statistics have become increasingly polarized. Last month, Trump took the unprecedented step of firing BLS Commissioner Erica McIntyre. After she was fired, even a lot of businessmen, like Republican businessmen, were like, okay, this is wild. This is a step too far. I mean, you guys know billionaire CEO Ken Griffin. Ken Griffin just came out recently. While many CEOs have stayed silent during President Trump's attacks on the Federal Reserve, hedge fund billionaire Ken Griffin is speaking out about the dangers. Trump risks, quote, stoking both higher inflation and higher long-term rates by undermining the independence of the Fed, Griffin co-wrote in an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal. So this is somebody who supported Trump, who donated to Trump, who is a, you know, somebody who very much so wanted Trump to win, yet he's saying, dude, you can't be attacking our institutions like this. Israel just seems to have launched a strike against Qatar, so I'm going to be covering that throughout the day as well. Israel is kind of off the fucking chain right now, just striking a bunch of countries and starving civilians in Gaza. It's terrible. We'll cover that. But, you know, Griffin's warnings represent a rare reprimand from a CEO at a time when many business leaders have tried to steer clear of publicly criticizing the president and others have gone out of their way to curry favor. The entire point I'm trying to make is Trump is covering up numbers when they come out poorly, and then making up numbers on the opposite side. So we saw that video of Mark Zuckerberg leaning over saying there were hundreds of billions of dollars in investment. And then he said, I didn't know what number you wanted me to throw out there. Like proving that there is no contract behind these. It's just throwing out numbers aimlessly, or there is an aim. It's to make Trump look good, even if it's a lie. At the same time, when the real numbers come out like this, Donald Trump throws a tantrum. And it seems like he already responded to what Ken Griffin said. He said, if the Fed had followed what we published, they would have raised rates in early 2021. The entire organization is broken. It needs to be fixed. We strongly disagree with Ken Griffin. We think incompetence is more important than to defend theoretical independence. Whoa. Okay, so he's saying that theoretical independence isn't even important. They're just conceding right there that the independence of the Fed is not important, and they think they're defeating Ken Griffin's argument, but they're only bolstering it here, right? What Donald Trump is saying, I mean, Trump didn't write this, but I'm sure he had eyes on it before it was posted. They're trying to say if the Fed had just followed what the politicians had asked, then we wouldn't be in this situation. But Ken Griffin is saying, no, the politicians shouldn't be asking the Fed to follow them in the first place. That's not how it works at all. That's how you create long-term, you know, economic collapse. Because just think about it. If every president were incentivized to boost the economy just for their term so they can win re-election or win the midterms, not caring what the long-term consequences are, and our Fed were politicized to that degree, it would be a whipsaw mess. That's why you need not just one person. It's not just Jerome Powell. There is a whole board of people making these decisions. The point is, Trump continues to get bad news, bad job numbers. The government shutdown is going to affect him. And at the same time, we have this new letter that Jeffrey Epstein sold to him. We'll cover that more. I'll see you all in the next one. Peace out.